Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can start in Romans 8 and verse 1. That's where we'll go at first here. And this is going to be the last night of our healing series that we entitled Faith for Healing. And we're going to look at some things tonight. Of course, I sent out the slick text mentioning that we're going to look at causes of sickness. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But Father, help us tonight. Lord, you know what we need to hear. Father, you know the areas where we're struggling, where we need revelation, where we need encouragement, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you that tonight I yield myself to you, Father. I did my best in preparing for tonight's service, the best I know how, setting myself apart. But, Father, we need heaven. We don't need man's plans, philosophies, theories, or ideas. We want boldness and we want utterance straight from the throne room. And so, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, thank you for where we're going. Thank you for where you're taking us, Father. Thank you for all that you're doing, even behind the scenes, Father, that we can't see, we can't feel. But Father, we know you're working on our behalf. And Father, we just thank you. This area, this church, our lives, the people in this region will never be the same. Great light has sprung up. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I talked about that we're going to be talking about causes tonight, and I'm thankful that the Bible outlines things for us, because I like to know where I'm missing it. I like to know where I'm doing things wrong. You know, I was, a baseball player, and there'd be different times, you know, that you might run into a slump out in the field. And what I mean by slump is you're not fielding as well, or when in hitting, maybe you're striking out more, or you're not making good contact. And, you know, I was thankful for the people in my life that could watch me, record me, and say, okay, this is what you're doing wrong. The reason you're doing this is because you're dropping your back elbow, or, you know, you're not coming through the zone, whatever, with a bat, you know, the way you're supposed to. And I found out there were causes to why I was failing. And I was thankful to find out what those causes were, so why? I could fix the problem, amen? And I'm thankful that God has put in His Word things that show us why sickness comes in our lives. And there is always a cause, you know? And these won't be the be-all, end-all, but they're the ones that are highlighted for me in this message with the Holy Ghost. But it's important that you understand something when it comes to causes. In Romans 8 and verse 1, it says, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice this, that God says, I want to put an end once and for all to condemnation. So that means that God's will is never to condemn. God's will is never for you to be in condemnation. Why do I say that? Causes don't equal condemnation. The purpose of causes, the purpose of that coach on the sideline pointing out why I'm doing something wrong was not to make myself feel bad about it, was not to come down on me, to hurt me, to make me a worse player, to fill my head with thoughts of failure and defeat. No, it was to get me out of that pattern into a new pattern of victory and accomplishment. Well, it's the same way. If tonight, you know, you hear things and you say, well, that's talking about me. That's stepping on my toe. That, you know, I'm experiencing things and going through things, and the Bible's pointing out, you know, this might be the reason why. He's not doing that to make you feel bad about yourself. He's not doing that to point out what a failure you are. And in fact, just know this, anytime you enter into condemnation, you have gotten off of where God's at, and you are into a place of where the devil is. And devil would love to condemn. Why? Faith doesn't thrive in an environment of condemnation. That's why he always wants you to beat yourself up. He always wants you to feel bad about yourself. But don't allow that. Just, okay, I see it in my life. I need to fix that. I can make a change, and it'll result in better things for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the first one I want you to see, you can go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. But I'm going to read a verse that we're not going to necessarily turn to, but you're well aware of the verse. But 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, In Hosea 4:6, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And, you know, being, you know, a faith church and learning principles of faith and things, we understand that faith can't thrive and survive without knowledge. In fact, knowledge is really what I call faith's mama, you know. Without knowledge, you don't have faith. Knowledge gives birth to faith. And so you take away knowledge and you take away a person's ability to receive from heaven and to get all that God has for them. And that verse says, my people are destroyed. Well, sickness and disease are destroyers. Amen. I mean, here we're living in a time frame of where everything for 2020 and going into 2021 that's dominated the news and such is something that's of a destructive nature, right? A coronavirus and sickness and disease and stories that you've heard. And you know, the Bible says that people can be destroyed. Well, one of the ways that people are destroyed is through sickness and disease. How many of you know it's not God's will for you to be sick? It's not God's will for you to live in sickness and disease. It's not God's will for you to live a lifestyle of being tortured and tormented in your body that way. But one of the ways that it can happen to people and where it can stay on people is for a lack of knowledge. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, it tells us this. It says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Now notice this last line of this verse. Not discerning the Lord's body. It's talking about not understanding the Lord's body. And it's talking in the idea of communion, because when we do communion, there's an emphasis or a highlighting of the Lord's body. And I remember, Dr. Dufresne talked about when he was just got saved and was an usher in a church, and they were taking up communion, and he didn't know what it was for, what was the purpose. And remember, Dr. Dufresne asked the Lord, what is this? And if you remember the story, the ceiling opened up, and he saw Jesus on the cross. And when he saw Jesus on the cross, he saw a bunch of words flying through the air, and they were hitting Jesus. And when the words would hit him, he said that his body would jolt and would jar. Well, he began to look, and he saw names of common sicknesses, tuberculosis, you know, cancers, things like that, arthritis. And then there was lots of words that he didn't recognize and sicknesses that he didn't know of. But what he was seeing was what the prophet Isaiah saw. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah, well before Jesus, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever was on the cross, Isaiah looked in the Spirit and was shown that he himself bore our infirmities and took our sickness and disease. And so what he was showing is that on the cross, and we know because we've been taught this here, that Jesus died and paid not only for our sin, but he paid for our sickness and disease. But a lot of people, and I know this because I came out of the body of Christ that didn't know this. I still have friends and family members that are in the body of Christ, that are heaven bound, that are children of God, that love the Lord, that don't understand the Lord's body and what the Lord's body was for. And the Bible says, when you don't discern the Lord's body, the next verse says, for this cause. Well, when it says for this cause, what cause is it talking about? The verse before, that people don't discern or recognize or understand what the body of the Lord did for them. And the Bible says because of that, many are weak, sick, and sleep. And you can see there's a progression there. Weakness to sickness to death. That's what's talking about sleeping there. Well, it says that the reason that many people in the body of Christ are facing sickness and going through what they're going through is because a simple fact is they don't discern the Lord's body. Now, there's a twofold application here that we must point out, and we can't leave this out. And they are Christ's natural body, but also the spiritual body of Christ. How many of you know we make up the spiritual body of Christ? And so when you have a lack of discernment towards the body of Jesus, but also the spiritual body of Jesus, it can lead to sickness and disease and death. Now, let me first mention this to you. So if you go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 4, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, you know, many Christians are sold out, and you can't talk them out of salvation. They know Christ died on the cross for their sins. But man, they'll fight you tooth and nail on the fact that he died just as much for your diseases, for your sickness on that cross as well. And, you know, a lot of times, because you can't have faith for something that you don't know. You can't have faith for something that you don't believe. And so many people in the body of Christ, I'm reminded of the minister that tried to talk me out of going to Rhema Bible Training Center. And he said, "You're not going to that school that believes in faith and divine healing, are you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, you know that healing's not for the body of Christ." And he's a minister. I said, "What do you mean it's not for the body of Christ?" I thought he would give me a bunch of scriptures. And of course, he didn't give me any verses. But he gave me personal situations, personal experiences. Well, we don't judge the word by personal experiences. We don't say because so-and-so who loved the Lord, so-and-so who even might have we thought they were in faith, and so-and-so who actually was taken out at a young age with a sickness, well, it can't be healing if that healing can't be real if that happened to them. That's dangerous. We judge God by his word. And by what the word says, in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely he," talking about Jesus, "has borne," or taken upon himself. Now we know this word griefs, actually translated in the Hebrews, the word sickness, "and carried our sorrows," which is translated pains. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted." Verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed," praise God. Just like we know that with the shedding of the blood of Jesus, we're saved, which happened on the cross. But so many people don't know this, and because they don't discern the Lord's body, they therefore are attacked that way, and they don't have faith for it. It's amazing how few people actually are sold out and confident and in a good place foundationally, biblically, that know anything about what Jesus did on the cross for them concerning their healing. Most people have no idea at all. And they don't receive the healing because they don't know it. Just like I didn't get my salvation until I knew that was available to me. I wasn't able to receive it. It's the same thing. People don't discern or recognize what the Lord did for them on the cross concerning their healing, and therefore many Christians never walk into or experience divine healing. But it can't be left out. You know, some of these things I've you know, and when I watch Pastor Nancy or I watch Pastor Michael or listen to Brother Hagin, it makes me want to be just a preacher of truth. Because these people will stand up, and it's great. You know, I've listened to a few messages Pastor Michael preached, and there's some very bold things that I've said before concerning money, concerning serving in a local church, and I got to hear some things, you know, recently with the MTC class and listening and just, you know, listening as much as I can. And I'm like, and I hear him say stuff, I say, "Wow, that's the same stuff I say." But when you say it makes me feel better about myself saying it, you know. But the point, what I'm saying is, it's important just to stick to truth. And why I say that is because there's great pressure to pull away from truth. Because the world hates truth. The devil who runs the world hates truth. And there's an assault against truth. But because what I'm about to say, it's very bold, but it's very true. You know, one of the things of discerning the Lord's body and why many people are sick, and I've had the Lord show me some of these things the hard way in people's lives, is they don't recognize their place in the body of Christ. And because people don't recognize their place in the body of Christ, the body of Christ actually is hindered or hurt because of that, and then it causes open doors of sickness to come in life. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Many people don't recognize their role in the body of Christ. and they don't discern that, and what's the result? Many are weak, sick, and sleep. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ." I remember studying this exact thing and knowing and getting revelation on it and realizing, okay, Lord, and having the Lord show me different specific situations of different people in life. There's been times before that I've gotten blue card, well, they used to be the blue cards, you know, when they were the blue cards, and there would be requests on there for me to pray for certain people. And my heart is to pray for everybody. My heart is to be a blessing to everybody. And specifically, a few times before I'd got this revelation, the Lord stopped me that no matter how much you pray for them, no matter how much you release their faith in them, they're out of order, they've not discerned my body, and there's natural and spiritual things that are set in motion that can't be reversed just by praying. And it says here that by speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him all things which is the head, even Christ, talking about the head of the body. It says, from whom the whole body, so here now we're talking about the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Notice it says that every part of the body, every joint, every supply, or every ligament in the body has a supply to bring to that body. But many people don't discern that, are not aware of that, and just live in their little cocoon of their selfish little life, and they don't understand it's affecting the body of Christ. But because they've not discerned, they're weak, sick, and sleep. And I remember getting this revelation and having the Lord tell me, do not pray for this. It will not change. And in the specific situations, what they were, every one of them came down to people, Christians, lovers of the Lord that have no discernment of their place in the body of Christ. Now, let me tell you what I mean. And I remember hearing Pastor Nancy preach on this after I got revelation. And I thought, okay, when I hear someone like her say it, I know I'm not crazy now. But if it's in the Bible, I don't need somebody else to confirm these things. But it's nice when they do, because sometimes as a preacher, you can feel like you're on an island alone out here declaring truth. And so many times it gets fought against and pushed against. But I remember hearing her preach this preach along these lines about people not discerning their place in the body. Well, in each of these cases where I was specifically led to not pray for somebody that was going through sickness in their body, in all of the cases, it was interesting, none of them had a local church and a pastor. They didn't have a local church and a pastor. They loved God and God loved them, and I was stopped in my tracks. You can't pray. And Jesus then, the Holy Ghost brought me then over to what Jesus said in Matthew 9 about not having a shepherd and how your life is scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed. And he says, your prayers can't take them above what I already said they would have in the Word. Now, it doesn't stop with just having a local church and a pastor, because a person that's a part of a local church and a pastor is to bring a supply to the body. And that supply going forth is, it manifests in different things. And one of the things that's one of the biggest things is the supply of tithes and offerings. It's true. We don't. Now again, I wish someone like Pastor Nancy Dufresne would come in here and be able to preach this stuff to you. Maybe I'll point you in direction to those sermons in her books, because then maybe people would believe it. Because then it's not just my pastor. What does he know about anything? But it's the Bible. When you don't discern the Lord's body, and what about the Lord's body? That you have a supply to bring to that body. Tithes and offerings, when they're not brought, affect every area of your life. Not only that, but you have a supply of prayer that you're to bring to your pastor, to the church, to the plan of God. Not only do you have a supply of prayer, but you have a supply of serving in your church. And I remember hearing Pastor Nancy preach on these four things, about the four things a person has to discern if they want to expect to walk in health and healing with discerning the body of Christ. Because Jesus said, and if you go back to Kim Lai to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, he said, this cause, what cause? Not discerning the body of Christ, for this cause, Many are weak, sick, and sleep. And she talked about the four areas. She said, and you could preach, you could have a whole series on this about being faithful to have a church, about being faithful to give, faithful to serve, and faithful to pray, that so many people just skate through and are just happy with their salvation and don't realize they're opening doors to sickness. Why? Lack of discernment. Well, how are you going to discern it when someone finally starts telling you the truth of what to do? And in each and every one of those, of course, with giving, serving, and praying, you know, in Ephesians 4, where it talks about bringing our supply, that's an overview of a supply. But in each of those, we could bring out scriptures and the verses and have messages on those of why those things are important, why the Bible says for us to do that. And so that's one reason my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And what's the main thing? They don't discern. Notice he said many are sick. Well, if you take all the sick people in the body of Christ and you had a pie chart, a good chunk of that would be why? They don't discern the Lord's body. They're missing it in these areas, and it's causing sickness and disease. And so we need to get these things right. Go with me to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Mark chapter 6, and again, we're just going over these, touching on them just a little bit, just to look at them. And if our radar goes off and we realize we got to make adjustments, we make adjustments. But in Mark chapter 6, we'll go to verse 5. Of course, we know this is Jesus in his own hometown. It says, he there could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So a few people got healed, but we know that not many people got healed. There was a lot of people there that left and went home in that same condition. And we've talked about this recently, but verse 6 tells us what it is. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. One, the two main causes is the first two that I brought out are not discerning the Lord's body, but number two, not having faith to appropriate healing in your life. Because here we see a situation where people actually continued to stay sick, continued to stay in their problems because of one reason. It was lack of faith. Mark 9:23 tells us what? All things are possible if you can believe it. And the number one and two reasons why people walk in sickness and disease as Christians, it's because they don't discern what belongs to them, because they don't discern it, they don't have faith for it, or just a general lack of faith. Well, think about this now. Now, this just flung right through my right up into my spirit, and it's just, I love when the Holy Ghost gives us help, because I need all the help I can get. Amen. Pastor Nancy and both Reverend Greer in the beginning of 2020 both prophesied and made mention and talked about distractions. Well, look at what Jesus did. He went about the villages teaching. What was he trying to cure? The faith problem. What was they had a faith problem. He said, I can't do this because they don't have faith. So he says, I'm going to cure the faith problem by doing what? I'm going to teach it more. I'm going to preach it more. Well, to teach and preach it, just him teaching and preaching to an empty field or auditorium is not changing the faith problem. There needs to be hearers of that teaching and preaching. Now, the reason why a lot of people, I'm here to tell you, there's no reason why somebody can't have faith for something. Because God gave us the equation. God gave us the formula for faith. It's not being irreverent. It's not having years and years of church experience. It's not being born again longer than somebody else. No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But the problem with how faith comes is it requires a lifestyle change. It requires the hearer to do something. These people needed to be in those meetings. They needed to hear these messages. And so when it boils down to a lot of people that have faith problems really just have hearing problems. Because the hearing takes care of the faith. It's the truth. If you'll hear it enough, that's why Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. If you'll hear it enough, faith will come. Now, there's no doubt there's strongholds and great strongholds of years that people have thought and listened and have had wrong thinking. And these, you know, remember when I went outside and saw the little tree growing between my bushes along the edge of my house, and someone pointed that out, and I said, oh, I'll get that, you know. And the reason I didn't want to get it is because, you know, down in there is all the nooks and crannies of where the spiders live. And I try to avoid the places where the spiders live. I don't do well with the spiders. And it was kind of awkward, and you get down in there between the bushes, it just doesn't feel good. I thought I'd just get it later. Well, time went by, and now there's a tree growing up between the two branches, and now it's starting to really stick out and look unsightly. That doesn't belong there. And of course, you know, I had someone that knew what they're talking about say, that's not good for your foundation. You need to get that out of there with the roots. So I went over and reached down to pull that thing out, and that thing did not come out of the ground. So I went like this and tried to get it. That thing did not come out of the ground. Had to hook up machinery to get that thing out. Well, when I first saw that thing just sprouting up, I could have reached down with my thumb and my index finger and just plucked that thing right out of the ground, you know, by the roots and taken care of it. But I had let it go and go. And so now it required more effort. It required more energy. Well, there's no doubt that's what happens with people. There are people that have taken thoughts of sickness and disease and believe in that sickness and disease and believe in that doctor's report and believe in what their body's saying and have such faith in that area that when you hear the word on it, it doesn't just come in and blast that root out of the ground and pull that thing. It's a stronghold now. And so you got to hear it and 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 hear it. Till what? That day star rises, till that faith shows up. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll continue to hear, faith will be born. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there it is. Number one, ignorance. Number two, lack of faith. Lack of faith just comes down to lack of hearing. Go to Mark 5 and the start of the story is in verse 25. And I'll just read the beginning of that, and then we'll go to the end of it. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Of course, we know she came in the press behind, touched the hem of his garment, and we'll pick it up in verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Of course, his disciples said, you're crazy, everyone's touching you. Jesus knew something was different. Verse 34, he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Your faith did this, praise God. But notice what he told her. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Will you pull that one up in the Amplified, Kim Lai? What are we talking about? Causes of sickness. Well, so far we've seen ignorance. So far we've seen lack of faith. He said unto her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Notice this. Go into peace. This is an order now. Go into peace and look at the result. Be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. What's he saying? You have it now. But if you're going to keep this, peace is where it's going to be maintained. So what's a lack? What's a cause of sickness? Lack of peace in people's lives. Lack of peace in people's lives opens the door. Now, how do these usually manifest? They usually manifest through fear, through thoughts, through worries, through anxieties, right? Through being stressed out. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress to you enough how much peace should be protected in your life. And so many people, instead of protecting peace, they'll protect familiarities, comfort levels. What am I talking about? So many times people put themselves in positions that absolutely bring them no peace because of guilt, because of pressure, because of being... I've done it with family members before. Yeah. I remember back when my dad, I took on the task of trying to take care of him right when he had just had his stroke. I was not qualified to do so, and I took upon all these, well, I'll just give you the first example was I was spending over 16 hours a day in the nursing home because I had taken thoughts of how he's being taken care of, that I need to be there, I need to watch it. And I was doing those things not because I was led by peace. Isaiah says they'll go forth and be led by peace. You're not supposed to be led by pressure. How many people would say, oh, I've been led by pressure before. I've been led by guilt before. I've not been led by the Holy Ghost, but I've been led by money before. I've been led by convenience before. No, we're to be led by peace. Why? Peace is the breeding ground of faith. Peace is the breeding ground of hearing from heaven. And I was spending 16 hours a day, and I was stressed out. My body was breaking down. I was losing my mind. Why? I had taken on thoughts. I had taken on things. And I've done it before with family members and letting certain people into my life and sharing things with people and realizing afterwards, I let pressure get the best of me. Amen. I've done it before. I remember one time there was family members coming over and they had talked about how, or they had let us know beforehand that certain ones in the family were struggling with flu symptoms. Now, I'm not afraid of the flu. I'm not afraid of these things. But at the same time, I know I have the Holy Ghost too and know when other people's faith or maybe other situations aren't where they need to be in things. You know, that's, remember what we talked about in making some of the things we changed for services right off the bat was because we have to pastor where everybody's at, right? We're not just up here trying to, you know, make mistakes of expecting everybody to be at the same level, and that's okay that we're not. We're all growing. But I remember a situation where family members were coming over and they had said the thing about the flu, and I didn't think twice of it. But the Holy Spirit said, because they had mentioned, do you want us to cancel? And I could tell by the tone in their voice, they didn't want to cancel, and they were almost like putting it before me that if we cancel, I want you to know you're going to pay a price by my anger, by me being, you know, just the pressure you get. But I knew in my spirit, don't have them over. Delay. Now again, that's not being afraid of the flu. That's following the Holy Ghost guidance. Amen. It's just like if the Holy Ghost tells you you better take that medicine, that's you follow what the Holy Spirit's saying. The Holy Spirit's saying you go get that checked out. You better go get it checked out because maybe, just maybe, your faith is not where you think it's at. And it's where our faith is that causes us to receive, not where we think our faith is at. Amen? Hallelujah. We have a measure of faith. We better not go above it. But anyways, I violated that. And what was the reason I violated that? Peace. I violated that because I didn't want the pressure. I didn't want the guilt trip. I didn't want the just that feeling. And so I gave into that. And sure enough, it wasn't a day or two go by. My kids have their heads in the toilets. Barfing their brains out. Yep, they had to pick their brains back up and shove them right back in. I mean, they were barfing them out. Well, why'd that happen? Violated peace. How many times do people violate peace in their life for pressure, for guilt, for money, for convenience, right? And Jesus told her, if you want to stay free from this, so many people, their life is a breeding ground of chaos. Worry all the time, anxiety all the time, fear is a big one all the time. How many times did the Lord appear, an angel appear, and the first thing out of their mouth was, don't be afraid. Fear not, right? That is so, one time I had someone call me about a financial issue, and the first thing out of their mouth was, this happened and I'm so afraid. And I said, you better fix that response. That's not the right response. Remember Jesus with the disciples on the boat? Why are you afraid? What is wrong with you? That is not the ground for faith. You want to get healed in your body? You got to get rid of this fear, this anxiety, this stress, all these things. Peace must be protected at all costs. And I've had to learn that the hard way. But I've learned this. Peace is the flow of God. Peace is the direction of God. My job is not to appease people. Oh, if you could get delivered from the fear of other people, it's a great deliverance to have. My job is not to appease family members. My job's not to, go by what the world's saying and what pressures of society are saying. My job's to follow God, and God's always a promoter of peace. Amen? I know we're stepping on some toes here tonight, because some of your lives are just like, peace? I'm worried nonstop. You better get a hold of that. I am afraid of everything. You better get a hold of that. Hallelujah. One of the main reasons we had to make changes in the beginning was because people's initial reaction to the coronavirus was fear and panic. It's the truth. Many people initially, immediately, instead of turning to the power of God, instead of turning to what the Word said, just turned immediately to what men were saying and what the what-ifs and all the imaginations, right? And so then that swept through the body of Christ. And you didn't have a bunch of people in the body of Christ as soldiers for the Lord full of faith. You had a lot of people sitting on pins and needles, worried and afraid of this thing. Come on now, it's true. Amen. That's initial what people's initial reaction is to get into fear and to worry. And that's not where faith resides. Go to John 5 and verse 1. So we've seen ignorance, lack of faith, brings sickness and disease. We see that lack of peace through worry, anxiety, fear, and stress. But John chapter 5 and verse 1. Now this is where the man, and I'm just going to skip ahead for time because we just have a few more to get through, and I want to make sure to get through them. This is where the man was healed at the pool of Bethesda, and he was made whole. And so let's go to verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, "Behold, you've been made whole." What, he was healed. But look at the next three words: "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come on to you." You know, it's interesting. I didn't plant this way, but it works out well with the segue from worry. Worry is a sin. Fear is a sin. Why? If he tells you not to do it and you do it, that's sin. When he says to be anxious for nothing, he means be anxious for nothing. When he says, "Therefore I tell you, take no thought for your life," and you're taking thought and getting uneasily anxious and perpetually worried about your life, you're in sin. And the Bible here says, and of course we know there's other sin besides worry and fear and anxiety, there's just general disobedience. But he said here, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you." Sin, ladies and gentlemen, is an open door to the enemy. See, I don't want to leave the door open for the thief. I want to make it as hard as I can for the thief to get in. I don't want to, I don't advertise in front, put out a billboard in front of my lawn that says, "Okay, we leave the key under this rock, and if you come in and hear a beeping noise, this is the passcode, and here's my safe password, and this is where we keep extra money and valuables." I don't need to open those doors for thieves. Thieves just try to do things on their own without the code and without the finding of where things are in the house or the knowledge of that stuff. Well, I don't want to open the door. In Romans 6, this will help you to understand this. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "The wages or the payment of sin is death." Hallelujah! When we miss God and continually sin, and we know we're missing it, and we know we're outside the boundaries of the Word, there has to be payment for that. There has to be penalty for that. Now, God doesn't dish out the penalty. The disobedience dished out the penalty. The unfaithfulness dished out the penalty. It wasn't God dishing out the penalty. If I tell Caleb, "Listen, I'm going inside. Do not climb that tree. You're 10 years old. You know what my words say. You know what they mean. Don't climb the tree." And Caleb climbs the tree and I'm not there, falls down and breaks his arm. Dad did not do that, but the penalty for disobedience did do it. Because God's not the sickness giver. But so many people, So many people live continually outside the boundaries of the Word. You know, in all these things we've already looked at, you know, ignorance to what you're supposed to do in the body of Christ. When people aren't faithful to do what they're supposed to do, not faithful to serve, not faithful to tithe, not faithful to show up, not faithful to be a supply, not faithful to do what God's telling them to do in life. These are open doors to the enemy that bring penalties. Amen. I know this isn't a very cheery message tonight, but it's causes, you know, and we got to look at them because we need to be sober about these things. Devil gets a lot of credit. We have a lot of self-saboteurs. That's a fancy way of cutting down sabotaging. Sound smart. A lot of saboteurs in the body of Christ. Well, you can't get out of your own way. Amen. We're in a place like those people on those blue cards. Father, healing belongs to me. You're a healer. Why aren't I being healed? Why aren't I being healed? And we're sabotaging our life by what? Living in disobedience, living in sin, living in a lifestyle of worry and fear and anxiety, and then wondering, why aren't we receiving our healing? Well, there's reasons. There's causes to why you're not. Why do I keep stinking popping the ball up? Hitting coach, there's a reason for it. There's a cause why you're doing it. So let's video you and let's slow it down. See how you're dipping? See how you're dropping your shoulder? That was a cause. Fix that and you won't do that anymore. Yeah, I don't understand. I'm good at baseball. I've never had a problem hitting. Why? There's a cause. There's a cause. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Number 5 now. So we've seen ignorance, lack of faith, lack of peace, and now we've seen sin. But now in Galatians chapter 5, and these really do, you know, with talking about sin and stuff, it could be under that general guideline, but I want to point out it specifically because this is the direction I had been praying. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. The Amplified says that your faith is activated and energized by love. Remember Paul said, though I have faith, I can remove mountains. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. He said, I give my body to be burned. I can give all my money to feed the poor. I can have spiritual gifts. I can sound like, speak of tongues of men and angels. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Because why? Love fuels the very thing that brings your manifestation. Love is the fuel to your faith. Love is the power to your faith. Now, of course, I want to bring you back to Numbers chapter 12 and show you a situation of people walking out of love and that led to sickness. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, what's interesting about this one is this also would be able to be in not discerning the body of Christ. When we talk about not discerning the body, of course, we talk about Jesus' body, but we also talk about not discerning your role in the body. But how many of you know this too? That not discerning the body of Christ, when you are entering into backbiting and grudge holding and talking behind people's back and being offended at someone in the body of Christ, you are not discerning that when you do that stuff, you're actually doing it unto Him. Remember when Paul was stopped by Jesus and the road to Damascus, and Paul said, why are you persecuting me? Well, Paul wasn't necessarily stoning the body of Jesus, the natural body of Jesus. Paul wasn't dragging the natural body of Jesus to prison. But notice, Jesus took it personal when things were being done to His body. And when Jesus is saying, when you're dragging them off to prison, you're dragging me off to prison. When you're stoning them, you're stoning me. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When we do these things, and we're going to read a story here, and we decide to get in grudges, we decide to talk bad about Christians, we decide to talk bad about the pastor, we decide to walk out of love and hold grudges and backbite and gossip, we're doing that to Jesus. Amen. And what's happening is it's a step out of love. Love doesn't backbite. Love doesn't demean. Love's never offended. Love doesn't hold grudges. Love doesn't gossip and talk bad about people. So when you step out of love, you've stepped out of God. When you step out of love, you step out of faith. When you step out of faith, you've stepped out of receiving. Amen. Look at Numbers 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. What are they talking? Behind Moses' back. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they have said, has the Lord indeed only spoken by Moses? Basically, who does he think he is? Has he not also spoken by us? Notice this. I love this. I love it. I love it. And the Lord heard it. Oh, we think we're... Nope. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Not just talking about Santa Claus. This is talking about the Father. He knows all our thoughts, all our motives, all our actions, and hears all of our words. They thought they were just having a private conversation of Slam Moses Day at school today. No, Lord was privy to that conversation. You know, that's why I love. Remember when the Bible talked about Jesus stood back and watched how people gave into the offering? What's he? He's not just watching what they gave. He's watching what's their heart. What's their thoughts right now? What's their motivation? These secret things are the things that matter with him. Amen? All of you can put on a good face in front of me, but what are you saying about me at the dinner table? Right? All of us can love one another here in church, but when we get in our vehicles and behind closed doors or a thought comes, what are we doing with those things? God's there for all of them. Hallelujah. And he takes it personally. Now and then it goes on to talk about, you know, the man Moses was meek. And then it says in verse 4, the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth and he said, hear now my words. If there will be a prophet among you, whom the Lord will make myself known unto a vision and speak unto him in a dream, I'll speak to him in a dream. He says, but Moses, my servant, isn't so. What's he saying? I face to face talk to him. Other people, I'm talking in dreams. What's he saying? You want to know how special Moses is? Let me tell you how special Moses is. You back talkers here. That's what he's saying. He says, with him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in darkness of speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall I behold. Wherefore, when you were not afraid, why were you not afraid then to speak against my servant Moses? And my question is, see, we don't have a revelation of this. We don't have a revelation that our fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, that Jesus takes it personal. That when you talk bad about them, you're really talking bad about him. When you go out of your way to hurt them, you're really going out of your way to hurt him. Remember what Jesus said? He said that they that just have gotten a cup of cold water just for the least of them has done it unto me. He took it all personal. He said, when you're serving them just enough to get them water, you've done that unto me. Well, if the good things are done unto him, and he takes it personal, the bad things too. Wow. Verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. He was not okay with this. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And then Aaron and Moses, they began to pray for the Lord to heal her. Well, what happened? Open the door to what? Sickness and disease. How? Walking out of love. Walking out of love. Oh, yeah. I remember a gentleman told me the story. And it's such a good one because of his background. He was a Christian. He knew the word of faith. He knew healing. He knew the power of confession. He knew that there were anointings and mantles in the body of Christ. And he would go to these ministries. He'd have people pray over him. Have people speak over him. And he was dealing with a chronic shoulder issue for years and years and years and years and years. And he couldn't figure it out. I know the scriptures. I know healing belongs to me. This is a lifestyle of pain, chronic lifestyle of pain. Anointings are laying hands on me. I've received this by faith. Nothing's changing. What's going on, Lord? Tell me. I love how good the Lord is to tell us what the causes are. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you won't forgive your father for what he did to you years ago. Now here's the thing about what his father did. What his father did was wrong. What his father did was out of bounds. What his father did would hurt the person. What his father did would naturally, by the world's standards, be a place to be justifiably mad and upset and hold a grudge. But that's not how God looked at it. Because Jesus says in Mark 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, your job's to what? Forgive. Why? That's what love does. Love fuels your faith. Well, this man decided to, even though naturally he's justified, even though naturally they came against him, the Lord says, no, you're out of love. You're walking out of love. So the man said he repented right in the vehicle. And from that point on, the power of God hit him and he had all the range of motion back. Well, what was it? Walking out of love. Open the door. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness, backbiting, strife will open the door. Offense will open the door. Why? They're all steps out of love. When you step out of love, you step out of faith. Dangerous people. I tried to warn someone one time. They were talking about me and saying things about me. And I got them on the phone. I said, I brought up Moses and I said, what you're saying is a lie and what you're saying is hurting me. I said, and I even brought up, I said, don't you realize, I said, my very children that you've hugged before and loved on them, I said, my precious kids, the things that you're saying about me, don't you understand, would have a negative impact on their life, could bring back about negative things. And what they were saying was a lie, and I proved it to them, and it shut them right up when I did. But I tried to warn them. They just kept talking and different people and spreading things. And it was amazing because I had told the Lord, I want to know. I want to know when things happen, when people go outside the boundaries and the word actually works this way. Not because I want to be a told you so or, oh, ha, 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 because I'm not happy when people suffer. And it was amazing within a few months of me praying that, all these different scenarios started coming back to me and being told. And one of them was one, they suffered a great physical trial that was rare and should not have happened. And why? Just kept opening the door. Just kept opening the door to these things. And the Lord showed me the reason why these things were happening. And it's heartbreaking, but they're true principles and they're laws and spiritual things you can't violate. And last but not least, Philippians chapter 2. So number one, ignorance. Number two, lack of faith. Number three, lack of peace. Number four, sin opens the door. Number five, walking out of love will open the door to sickness and disease. Philippians chapter 2, and let's go to verse 25. He said, this is Paul speaking. Now this is always the one where this is one people really don't like to hear about, but you need to hear it. And unfortunately, Jen Husen's not here tonight. You know, she works in the medical field, and she always likes it when I talk about this stuff because she sees this stuff, on a daily basis with people. It says, yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. Well, remember what the Bible says, there's causes to sickness. And thank God, the Bible's going to tell us what the cause of this sickness was. For indeed, he was sick near unto death. That's how sick he was. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Notice this, here comes the cause. Because for the work of Christ, now here you go, you might think, oh God, don't let me be in the ministry. The ministry makes you almost be dead. No, it wasn't the ministry, because Paul was in the ministry, and he wasn't near unto death. Timothy was in the ministry, and he wasn't near unto death. It's not being in the ministry that causes you to be near unto death. It says he was near unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. What's he saying? He didn't regard the natural. He violated natural principles. Natural principles of what? Taking care of your body, of getting rest. Amen? Brother Hagin said, the greatest regret, if he could go back and change one thing, about his life, it would have been to take better care of his body. You don't realize it, you know, when you're living in things. But ladies and gentlemen, many of the things that people struggle with and go through, it's like Pastor Nancy went to the doctor dealing with symptoms. What'd the doctor tell her? Change this, adjust this. Not the devil's after you. Not you got to stand in faith and pray and you know, beat down the walls of the devil. Nope. There's natural things. If you'll make an adjustment, glory to God, we'll change. She comes back 6 months later and they're fixed. The doctor's astonished. What happened? What'd you do? I listened to you. Nobody listens to me. That's what the doctor said. Nobody listens to me. But how many of these things, you know, that are people going through heart conditions, people going through aches and pains in their bodies that would be fixed by weight loss? I know. Don't look at me now. I don't want to look at anybody because I'm not trying to look at anybody. I'll preach like this. How many times are people, you know, that deal with things, of course, I don't want to look at anybody and think I'm talking about them, that deal with things, it would be fixed with an eating. You're eating wrong. Your cholesterol is the way it is, causing other things, because you can't stop eating fast food and junk food. Because how much of it is laziness? You know, if you just would get out and exercise 30 minutes a day, the doctor might say, wow, your numbers would start going down. Things would start changing. And here it's not a spiritual thing. It's not a devil thing. Now again, there's not always this way. Don't misunderstand me. But there is principles to natural things. And Jen Houston, man, she would be amen to me the loudest. Because she gets to see people on a daily basis, you know, that if they would just fix their eating, if they would just get more sleep, if they would just slow down and rest. Yeah. I've had to tell people before that they get into problems, and it's on my heart. You're not rested enough. You're running your body ragged. You can't do it. I've had to have the Lord. That's one of my biggest areas of struggle, is taking time off and resting. Why? I love going, doing. But I remember this, Pastor Michael talking about how that if you won't rest on your own, you'll be made to rest. And you don't want to be made to rest. Because usually when you're made to rest, there's things that need to be then fixed. Amen. It's true. So violating natural laws and violating, you know, health things and not taking care of your body leads to sickness and disease. And people come up all the time. Oh, I need healing for this. I need healing for that. No, yeah, you just need to lose 20 pounds. No, my heart condition. No, you just need to start working out 30 minutes a day. Ouchie. Ouchie, Pastor Mike. Stop talking about this stuff, right? Praise God. Remember the story of Stephen Dufresne. Stephen Dufresne was a 16-year-old boy, I believe it was. And he's big into motocross. Going zoom. Zipping up over the hills and doing flips and turns and spins and land on that bike. Well, he broke his leg, severely broke his leg, and had to have pins and rods and things put in. And so Pastor Nancy praying about this, and doctor had to go back to his son and talk to him. You're getting to a place now where you're getting old enough where you got to stand on your own faith. But what was interesting is that the Holy Ghost pointed out that you can't do these types of things and expect that the blood of Jesus and confession, because here a man's working for God and he almost loses his life because he didn't take care of his body. And so what did I try to say? He was working for God, and faith and confession and prayers couldn't stop that sickness when a natural thing was violated. And Dr. Dufresne was telling his son, going forward, you better watch what you get yourself into. I don't care that you're a Dufresne. I don't care that we know faith. If you violate natural things, it doesn't matter that you know faith. You keep eating that way, it doesn't matter that you know about healing. If you keep not exercising and being lazy and not resting your body, not getting sleep, it doesn't matter. You'll violate and you won't be able to get healed. Amen? Well, those are the causes of sickness. Oh, that's a real fun sermon to preach. I'm glad that's over. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much. I say that jokingly, Lord, we welcome the word. Sometimes the word is sober. Sometimes the word, you know, I imagine when you corrected Moses, or when you corrected Miriam and Aaron, I imagine that wasn't a fun session of hearing, but it saved their life and helped them. Father, I'm thankful for all that you've given us, when it's shouting and running and jumping, or when it's sobering and making changes and looking inward. Father, you said in the Word, after you talked about man not discerning the Lord's body, you said if a man would judge himself, he would not be judged. Well, then there's times we've got to have good old-fashioned judging ourselves services, where we look inward, where we look to see, am I violating, am I outside the boundaries? And if we are, we just quickly get back in. But Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful. Let's thank him for the message and for the word that he gave us tonight, and for the correction and the instruction. We're so thankful, Father, for all you've done. We welcome it all. We love you. We appreciate you and are so grateful for you. And Father, I know that everyone in here is born again, but if someone's watching right now and you're not born again, you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's made it so simple, so easy. He said if you just believe on him, you know, Romans 10 and verse 9 is the outline. It says that if a man will confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he'll be saved. And so salvation is simply just believing and receiving. It's a simple prayer way. And I just encourage you, when the service is over, if you have that belief in your heart of Jesus, but you can say, you know, I've never made him the Lord of my life, I've never asked him to be in a relationship with me, then I encourage you, get down on your knees and cry out to him. And it would sound something like this: Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. And I ask you to come into my life, and I make you my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that, he'll do his part. And then I just encourage you to get a hold of me through email, through a phone call. And I want to let you know your next steps in him. He's got such good things for you. But it starts at the cross. It starts with salvation and eternal life. But he loves you so much. He's just so thrilled about your life and where you're headed. And so, Father, we just love you. Let's just stand to our feet and worship him before we go. Again, we're not going to have prayer tonight. We're going to pick that up next week. And, of course, again, we have Tuesday service, the last Tuesday of every month. We're going to be doing that here and start that out and emphasize it on prayer. But, Father, we love you tonight. We praise you and magnify you. Thank you for all our help. Thank you for our instruction. Thank you for encouragement and correction, Father. We love you. We know you're on our side. We know you're helping us, keeping us safe with messages like this. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, put your offering in. Love you, appreciate you. You are dismissed.